This is ProBlogger.
Hi there and welcome to episode 251 of the ProBlogger podcast. My name's Darren Rouse and I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com, a blog, podcast, event, job board, series of ebooks and courses all designed to help you to grow a profitable blog. You can learn more about what we do at ProBlogger at ProBlogger.com. Now, in today's episode, I want to talk about email. In particular, I want to answer three questions that I got from some of our Facebook group on the topic of email. The questions come in from Marco, Lisa, and Leah. Marco asks some questions about getting started, choosing an email provider, and what to send in those initial emails. Lisa asked about tips for opt-ins to get more people to sign up. And Leah asked about the sequence of emails that you might want to set up as an autoresponder afterwards. So the questions do progress a little bit from the easier beginner ones through to something a little bit more intermediate. You can find today's show notes and there's going to be plenty of extra reading for you. I've got some resources for you as well. And you can find those show notes at problogger.com/podcast/251. And I will recommend that you go to problogger.com/members. And that's where you can get some downloadable resources, one of which is relevant for today's show. There's six worksheets and guides that we've got there. They're completely free. You just have to give us your email address and we'll send them and log in through to you so you can access those and the new ones that we will be adding in there as well. So again, that's problogger.com/members. And that's just a members area that we've got set up for you completely free. You will see our courses there as well, some of which are free and some of which are paid, but that's where you'll be able to get the download relevant to today's show. Okay, let's get into the question from Marco.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
So thanks for your question, Marco. Marco wrote, after years of hearing I should be using email, I've decided to bite the bullet and start an email list, but I have some starter questions. Firstly, which service should I use? I know you get what you pay for, but how much is too much for someone just starting out? And number two, what emails should I send? Any tips to help me get going? So, a few thoughts for you, Marco. It is a big topic, so I will be referring you to listen to a few other podcasts and to get that download that I mentioned before, because a lot of it is covered in those. I did some podcasts way back in, I think it was back in episode 66. I did a series on 10 things you can do today and that are going to pay off for the long term. And I did three episodes in that series about email. So number 68, episode 68 is about getting subscribers. Number 69 is about keeping subscribers. And number 70 is about autoresponders, which will be relevant for Leah's question later as well. So listen to those podcasts. I'll link to them in the show notes. Also, there's that download. The download in our members area at problogger.com/members is a comparison of email providers. And in that, we look at the most common email providers and the ones that we recommend and which level they're best suited to. So that's going to answer some of your questions. I do recommend you dig into those. The other advice I give you, Marco, is to start simple. And this really is advice that I want to give to Lisa and Leah as well. You don't have to complicate things with email. Email can get very complicated and there are levels of complexity that are worth adding on. But when you're starting out, don't overcomplicate it. Start simple. You don't have to have all the bells and whistles from day one. You will see people writing guides to using pop-ups and opt-ins and segmenting lists and all these things, and they're all great. They're all things that you can learn, but it's so important if you're in the situation that Marco is in, you haven't yet started, sign up for a simple email provider. In our downloadable guide, we mentioned a few. MailChimp is one that many of our readers use to get started. I think they have a free plan to start out with for a certain level. ConvertKit is another one. It's probably a step up from MailChimp. I think it's great for beginners. And again, I think MailChimp has an account for up to 2,000 subscribers. So it can be free to start, but you are going to end up paying for all of these. ConvertKit does have, I think, a little bit more power to it. And the one that we use is Drip. And whilst I am in love with Drip, I highly recommend it for anyone who's a bit more advanced, who's already got a list and who wants to start segmenting and doing some of these more complicated things. I think Drip might be a little bit of overkill for someone like Marcus who's just starting out, unless you want to get really serious from day one. So they're the three that we kind of, three of the ones that we compare. We also have used Aweber for years as well. And I think from memory, they have a bit of a free service as well. But grab our little downloadable guide at problogger.com/members and you'll see the features of each of them and the plans as well. So keep it simple. Sign up for something. They all have forms that you can put into your sidebar or on your blog or in a blog post that begin to help you collect emails. And that is the first thing you need to do. You need to sign up and then you need to have a form somewhere on your site. The more prominent, the better, to start collecting the emails. That is the key. And the third part is start sending some emails. Even if you've only got one subscriber, start getting into the habit of sending regular emails. Now, there are things you can do to add complexity, to add a bit more strategy into what you do, but start with a signing up, starting to collect emails, and starting to send an email every now and again to warm up your list. That's the bare essentials. And then you can begin to experiment with using different types of emails, sending different types of emails, and collecting subscribers in new ways. And there are some ways to grow your list a little bit faster. If you want two starting points in terms of next steps once you are set up, I would encourage you to think about an opt-in. And we're going to talk more about that in answering Lisa's question next. This is where you offer something for in exchange for the email address. The other thing you might want to begin to experiment with is new ways of displaying your sign-up form. Most people will put their sign-up form in their sidebar. That's the first place that most bloggers will put it. And that's a good spot. People will sign up there. But there are other ways of being a little bit more aggressive with that, or positioning the email form in places that people are more likely to take to respond to. The most aggressive one is the pop-up. This is where you come to a site and they ask you immediately or maybe after 20 seconds to sign up. This will get you more. You may not feel comfortable with that though. And so perhaps a better first step would be an exit pop-up. And this is something that a lot of bloggers are getting quite good success with of late. This is where instead of interrupting people as they arrive on your site, you interrupt them when they go to leave your site. And that still may be a little bit aggressive for some of you, but it might be a good first step. And I think using that exit pop-up in conjunction with an opt-in, offering someone who's leaving your site a gift of, you know, an opt-in, can be a good strategy.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Then in terms of sending your emails, Marcus asked, what should I send? Well, again, keep it simple. You can add to this. You will change this probably over time. But the key is to send something on a regular basis that is useful. And that is really where it needs to start. It's got to be something that is going to give the people receiving your email a quick win. And that may be simply, here's a link to the new post on my site this week. That's typically what we do with the ProBlogger email that we send out, ProBlogger Plus. I send out a weekly email, and it's really a list of our new content. Here's our latest blog post. Here's our latest podcast. Here's my latest video, and here's something to think about. I might include a quote, or I might include some further reading or something else. And that is all I send. I send it on a weekly basis so that my readers get used to hearing from me, and I try and make it useful. All of the content we produce has an outcome, has a win for our audience. That is something you could do. The other option that I see some people doing is sending out just an extra piece of content in the email itself. And so you might want to just write a few paragraphs. Here's something I've learned this week. That email in and of itself becomes useful. Of course, there are other ways of sending emails as well, and we're going to talk about some of those in a moment with autoresponders. But Marcus, can I really encourage you, get started, just sign up for one of those. You can always change email service providers later. You can take your email addresses and put them into a new one later. You don't want to be changing that too much, but it's totally fine to start out with one, and then as you grow up, as your list gets bigger, as you learn how to use email better, you can always change later on. Again, just head over to problogger.com/members to grab that download.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, Lisa's question. Lisa asked about opt-ins and ways of collecting email addresses, which flows on nicely from Marcus's question. She says, "Hi, Darren. You recommend adding sign-up forms to a blog sites. Do you recommend offering an incentive to sign up? I know people are inundated with emails. How best to entice them into receiving another one into their email box?" So asking here about incentivizing the sign-up. Essentially here, what you are asking people to do is to give their email address in exchange for something. Opt-ins, I think, can be really good. I was actually very late to doing opt-ins, though, because I was always a little bit worried with opt-ins that people are going to give you their email address just to get the thing and not for what comes next. And the, you know, I guess, discontinuation of, you know, why they signed up and what they're going to get in the long term was something that I always felt a little bit awkward about. And so one of the things I would encourage you to think about when you're creating your opt-in is to make that transition from the opt-in to the next emails as seamless as possible. So what can you create as an opt-in that you can then do some follow-up on that makes the benefits of the opt-in flow even longer? This actually will mean that people want to get the next emails as well. So don't just think about the opt-in, think about what you want to do with your list in the long term and how an opt-in could be the first step in that sequence of emails that you might want to send. And this is where Lisa's question flows in nicely to Lee's in a moment, and that is about, you know, continuing that relationship. You know, you want to continue that relationship and you might send a weekly email like I've just mentioned to Marcus, but what other sequence of emails can you flow into that as well? Think about the opt-in in terms of the beginning of a journey, part of the process, and also think about, you know, ways that you can then update that opt-in as well. And one of the best opt-ins that we've had at ProBlogger is one that you can see. I think if you go to problogger.com/ideas, you'll see a landing page there for an opt-in we created with 180 blog post ideas. And the idea of that is that we wanted to give people a quick win, so help you to come up with ideas for your blog, and we wanted to deliver them over time. And we originally rolled that opt-in out as 6 emails over 6 months, and so that kept people subscribed and also showed them that, you know, we've got lots of content for you here, and the emails that followed all flowed from that original opt-in as well. So that is one thing that you might want to be factoring into your decision. Opt-ins do work, but they don't work brilliantly if the opt-in doesn't relate to what comes next. So make that flow. The other thing that I see people debate when it comes to opt-ins is how big to make them. Probably 90% of people that I see teaching about opt-ins say deliver a quick win with your opt-in. You want something to give away, something that people, if they take action on it, will get a quick win within 10 minutes of receiving it. And so our, you know, 180 blog post ideas that delivers that quick win. You sign up for our ideas and you get the first email within a minute or two, and there's 30 ideas for your blog. And that's a quick win. And that was relatively easy to create that opt-in. And that's great. So that may be one type of opt-in that you might want to do. But I actually wonder whether that type of opt-in is going to work in the long run as much as it used to, because so many people are offering these little free downloadable things. Here's a list of tools that you could use. Here's a list of ideas. Here's a list of, you know, and it becomes these little ebooks or these little PDFs. It's so easy to create them and they do work to an extent, but what impact do they actually have on your reader? Is there an opportunity to go a little bit deeper and to create something that is more useful to them? Because let's face it, we've all got probably a hard drive full of things that we downloaded on the internet that we never actually really go back to and use. The thing that we've been trying on ProBlogger this year is to create an opt-in that is a lot bigger and a lot more useful, and that's going to be life-changing in some way. And the opt-in that we created at the start of this year was our Start a Blog course. And if you have enrolled in our Start a Blog course, you know it's a chunky opt-in. It is huge. There's a lot of content. It took us months and months and months and months to create. It goes against all of the advice that people say, you know, deliver a quick win. But we have seen the people who sign up for that course have stayed with us as readers and as listeners, and they are grateful to us and they're engaged. And it has shown us the power of creating something for free in exchange for our email address. All we really are getting out of that is an email address and maybe a little bit of affiliate income as well from some of the things we recommend. But in exchange for that email address, we're getting an engaged, thankful reader, subscriber who is taking action on the emails that we're sending as well. And so that's the other thing that you might want to consider doing as well. Now, I would probably say go for the quick opt-in first. If you are just starting out at this, think about that. But having the long run, what could you add that is a bit bigger, that is a little bit more powerful, that's going to change someone's life and make them, you know, really grateful for receiving the thing that you create for them? The other thing that we've been trying on ProBlogger is something I mentioned earlier in this podcast, and that's we've created a members area. So again, problogger.com/members, we've actually created 6 opt-ins that are all housed in that one place. And you can also access the starter blog course there as well. So what we are doing is creating a login area on ProBlogger where we keep our opt-ins, because we have now multiple opt-ins. You know, we've got our 6 months of blog post ideas. We've got how to create an avatar for the reader of your blog, how to find readers for your blog. We've got a worksheet on that and a variety of other ones, including that comparison of email service providers. So we've now got this collection of them. And so we decided that we're going to create a space where they all sit together, where people can log in and grab them and any future ones that we add in as well. And in a sense, we've created this little membership area as an opt-in as well. And whilst we haven't really promoted this in great detail yet, it's something that will roll out more and more and we'll begin to promote more, particularly using exit pop-ups. That's something that we want to do. We want to, as people leave ProBlogger, actually offer them the free membership and these free downloads. And so it is something that we'll roll out more and more of, but it's something that I think even in the limited promotion that we've done of it can work quite well. So that may be something else that you might want to try as well.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, let's finish up with looking at Leah's question. Leah asked, we set up a top 10 tips PDF giveaway. So she's created a opt-in and we set up ConvertKit. Can you give us some examples of good email sequences that we can set up? And so, Leah, I would highly recommend that you go and listen to the episode that I mentioned earlier. It was episode 70, and that's about 8 ways to use autoresponders to drive traffic and increase your blogging income. That does outline 8 different types of sequences of emails that you can send out. Now, there's a variety of things that mentioned there. Let me just mention a few types of things that you might want to include in your sequence. But really, I guess the big thing that I would encourage you to do is to think about, where do you want to lead your readers to with the email sequence? Do you want to turn them from a subscriber into a customer? Do you want to turn them from a subscriber into an attender of one of your events? Do you just want to use that sequence to get more eyeballs on your site because maybe you're monetizing with advertising? Are you wanting them to buy an affiliate product? There's a variety of things that you might want to be wanting to do with your reader. And so it's really important to understand what the goal is of having a subscriber. A lot of it will come down to the model that you have on your site. If you're selling something, if you're selling a service, if you're selling an event, if you're just trying to build your profile, if you're trying to get people to buy a book, whatever it might be. So nail that first. I think that's the most important thing. And then you can just design a sequence of emails that has the potential to take someone from being a first-time subscriber who doesn't really know who you are, put yourself in their position, you know, what is going to stop them from becoming what you want them to become. The other thing to consider, of course, is what benefit are they going to get from being a subscriber as well? It's not just about how them being a subscriber is going to benefit you. You know, are they going to become a customer of you, give you money? But what are they going to get out of that list as well? And so then designing content that has a win-win. that takes your reader from a problem they have to a benefit that they receive, but also taking them from a cold subscriber to actually responding to the call to action that you've got as well. So think carefully about those two things. And then I reckon even if, as you think about those two things, you'll begin to see opportunities as well. You know, a lot of people in their emails, autoresponders will do things like send out extra exclusive content. So a sequence of case studies or a sequence of tutorials that you can't get on the blog, a sequence of emails that answer frequently asked questions that tackle pain points or that tackle the gains that subscribers want. So extra exclusive content is one thing that you can potentially do there. The other thing that you might want to do is even think about putting together a little mini course. So the emails actually form a course. And that's essentially how we used to run 31 Days to Build a Better Blog. And that worked quite well. So people are signing up for something that's going to take them on a journey. And in a sense, that becomes the opt-in as well. And so maybe that is after your top 10 tips PDF giveaway, maybe you should follow that up with, well, you know, here's another 10 things that are tips that are relevant to you, but we're going to deliver them as 10 emails over the next 10 days or over the next 10 weeks. And so you transition your reader from getting this free thing, the PDF, into an experience. We're going to train you now. We're going to take this further. It may even be that you take those 10 tips from the PDF and go deeper into each of them in the next 10 emails. The PDF might become the blueprint, and then the emails become the unpacking of the blueprint. So there's a variety of ways that you can do what I was talking about earlier, really, is give them something that's a quick win, but also relates to the emails that follow after that. Other people will use their email sequences to highlight the best content in their archives. So we do this from time to time on Digital Photography School. We have a little email sequence that once every month or two, we send out an email automatically that just highlights his 10 portrait photography tips that you may have missed but as a new subscriber to our site, or here's 10 landscape photography tips. And that, those emails are just about trying to get people over to our site. Other people will include, you know, calls to action in their email sequences. So calls to action to buy affiliate products or to buy your products, or that offer a gift code or something along those lines. Another really good thing to do early in your email sequence is to survey your audience, or at least to ask the question, ask some questions to your audience to find out who they are. So I've mentioned on this podcast before, Kaz and Craig Makepeace from Why Travel Blog, their first email on their email sequence asks their new subscriber, what is your goal for travel? They've got a travel blog. What's your dream? And then what's holding you back from your dream? And they actually ask their subscribers to hit reply on the email and to answer those two questions. That opens up a conversation with their subscribers. It gives them insight into who is subscribing, what are their pain points, what are their dreams. And then they follow up with an email sequence of answering the problems. And they know, having received, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of emails back, that most people have the same things holding them back from their dreams. And so they've created an email sequence that removes those pain points, or that gives tips on how to make the dreams come true. So that might be another way that you can go about creating your autoresponder as well.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
So there's a lot of different ways. Keep it simple though, you know, and this is the thing I would say to Marcus, Leah, and Lisa, is try to keep what you do as simple as possible, particularly when you're just starting out. You don't have to have all the bells and whistles when you first start out. The key is to start and start collecting the emails. Optimize the way that you collect those emails once you're set up, and then start emailing. It's so important. This is, you know, people get stuck on each of those three points. Some people get stuck because they don't sign up for an email provider, and then they can't do anything else. Some people get stuck because they don't actually call people to subscribe. They've got the email provider set up, but they're not actually doing anything to get the subscribers. And then some people get stuck because they never send any emails, and they're collecting new addresses every day, and they never send an email out. So most people, that's they're getting stuck in one of those three points. And if you're at those points, I encourage you to take action today. Either sign up, get going with your email collection, optimize your collection of emails, and then start sending emails. It's just so important. I hope some of that has helped answer Marcus, Lisa, and Leah's questions, and others of you. I know if someone's asking those questions, other people will be as well. I hope they've helped. I would love to hear any other questions you've got on the topic of email or anything else over in our Facebook group. Just search for Pro Blogger Community on Facebook. You'll find our group, or you can hit reply on any of the emails that I send you each week from Pro Blogger Plus, and that will come back to me or one of my team, and we can consider those questions for a future podcast as well. Lastly, head over to problogger.com/members where you can grab those downloads. And if you haven't started a blog yet as well, check out the starter blog course, which you'll see there linked as well once you're signed into the members area. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week on the Pro Blogger Podcast. Lastly, don't forget you can grab today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/251, where there are all the downloads mentioned today, as well as all the further listening to other episodes about email.
You've been listening to Pro Blogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at Pro Blogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search Pro Blogger on iTunes.
This episode of the Pro Blogger Podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.